Helena did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. This is about healthcare workforce planning in Sheffield Hallam, where people qualified and desperate to train as nurses watch lecture halls sit empty while hospital wards cry out for staff. The work that is going undone is the training that would connect willing people to essential skills blocked by Treasury spending limits that treat public investment as a household expense.
I grew up in Crooks, watching my mum help kids who struggled with reading, seeing how patience and skill could unlock something that had been stuck. My dad worked at the steel plant until it closed, but he never stopped talking about good work, work that mattered. When I started volunteering at the care home during sixth form, I saw what my mum had been talking about. A nurse could walk into a room and change everything, the way someone sat up straighter when their pain was managed properly, the way they smiled when someone actually listened to their concerns. I wanted to learn those skills. I worked as a healthcare assistant for 3 years after college, saving money and watching how the registered nurses worked. I memorised drug names, learned to spot when someone's breathing changed, practised talking to families during the worst days of their lives. Every shift convinced me more. This was what I wanted to do with my life. I was ready. I applied to Sheffield Hallam University's nursing programme in 2019. I scored well on the entrance exams, felt good about the interview. The admissions team was encouraging, but told me all places were filled. "Try again next year," they said. "You're exactly the kind of candidate we want." It sounded reasonable. Popular courses fill up. I kept working, kept learning. In 2020, I applied again. This time, the conversation was different. The admissions tutor looked uncomfortable when she explained that Health Education England had reduced funding for training places due to budget constraints across the NHS. She said they wanted to accept me, but simply could not. "There is no funding," she said, and I believed her. It sounded like something that happened to institutions beyond anyone's control. I spent another year working as a healthcare assistant at Sheffield Teaching Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. Every shift, the managers complained about nurse shortages. We were constantly short-staffed. Agency nurses came and went, earning twice what I made, but lacking the local knowledge that permanent staff brought to patient care. I watched patients wait longer for basic care because we did not have enough hands. The irony was not lost on me. Here I was, desperate to train as a nurse, working in a hospital, desperate for nurses. When I applied for the third time in 2021, the university's explanation became more detailed and more confusing. The programme leader, Dr. Sarah Chen, sat me down and walked through the numbers. They had the facilities, they had the lecturers, they had clinical placements lined up with local trusts, but HM Treasury had capped Health Education England's budget, meaning they could only offer 60% of the training places they had capacity for. "We could train twice as many nurses," Dr. Chen said. "We have lecture halls sitting empty 3 days a week. Our clinical simulation labs are unused most afternoons, but the funding allocation does not match our capacity." I started paying attention to things I had not noticed before. Walking to work every day, I passed the nursing building. The sign above the entrance read, "Applied Health Sciences," in bright blue letters, but I could see through the windows that half the rooms were dark. Lecture halls that could seat 40 students had 10 or 15. The simulation ward, where students practiced with computerised mannequins, was locked most of the time I walked past. During my shifts, I met other healthcare assistants in exactly my position. Sarah had been trying to get onto a nursing course for 2 years. Mohammed had the qualifications and the experience, but kept being told there were no places. Jennifer had given up and was looking at courses in Manchester instead, even though she had family responsibilities that made moving difficult. The contradiction became impossible to ignore. In the same building where I was told there was no money to train nurses, I could see empty classrooms. On the same wards where managers complained about staffing shortages, I met qualified, experienced healthcare assistants who wanted nothing more than to train as registered nurses. The people existed, the facilities existed, the need definitely existed. I started to understand what Dr. Chen meant when she talked about funding allocation. This was not about whether the money existed in some abstract sense. This was about choices. HM
differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money.
It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still working as a healthcare assistant. I am still walking past those empty lecture halls. But I understand now that what happened was not bad luck or natural scarcity. It was a series of political decisions made by people in Treasury who had alternatives. They could have chosen to fund the training places that matched the capacity and the need. They chose not to. Every empty classroom, every frustrated healthcare assistant, every patient who waits longer for care because we are short-staffed. These are the consequences of that choice. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. They just chose to keep it locked.
What Helena experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. It follows a familiar pattern. For decades, tobacco companies cited doctors who claimed smoking was harmless. They found credentialed professionals willing to lend authority to profitable lies. The technique was not the false claim itself, but the manufactured consensus around it. In Helena's story, Health Education England justified the training place cap by citing budget constraints across the NHS. When challenged, officials referenced economists who argued government spending must be limited to prevent fiscal crisis. These same experts treat the household budget analogy as economic law. The government, like a family, must live within its means. The objection goes further. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, there is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. Helena's constituency had healthcare assistants ready to train, universities with capacity to teach them, and hospitals desperate for qualified nurses. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Sheffield Hallam ranks 529 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 10, English Indices of Deprivation 20-25, MHCLG. The constituency has 183 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received were £80,000, 360 giving grant nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.